There are bag rats. And then there are caddies. Baby. Pro jocks who are legends in caddy shacks across the PGA Tour.
While we can neither confirm nor deny the existence of this legendary looper,
here he is, the caddy on Real Golf Radio.
And Caddy joins us weekly here on Real Golf Radio, and always a treat to have him on for Masters Week. Caddy, good morning. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I wonder if Teddy Scott ever gets up on the tee for their first round of the tournament and looks at the guys in the group and says to the other players, I got more Masters than any of you guys have wins.
Wow.
I don't know. He wouldn't say that.
He wouldn't do that.
I thought you were going to be like kind of like Seabiscuit. I love that movie where the jockeys are kind of like smack talking as they're getting into the, you know, starting gates and all that kind of stuff with the horses that they're on. Is that what you're saying? Like he's got a little swagger right now. He's riding the best horse, huh?
I got to tell you what, caddies do not smack talk almost at all because golf just beats you up too much. By the time you get to that level, you've been beat up so bad, you know you don't mess around with golf by doing anything like that.
Yeah, you don't want to tempt fate. You don't want to tempt fate. You don't want to say catch us if you can, whatever. You don't want to say it.
Oh, I like that.
Don't go there. Don't mess. Just leave it alone. Don't poke the bear.
That's it.
Or the tiger. Or the Scheffler.
Have you ever been out there? In all my Masters, I think I did 8 of them. I don't remember. You know what? There was a day that was something like this, but it wasn't this windy. That Friday round, it was impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. The sand coming out of the bunkers, all that kind of thing. I remember Steve Jones was playing one year. And he was on the 7th green. He said the sand was flying out of the bunkers, too. I think that was the year that Zach Johnson won. But, the wind gusts up to 35 miles an hour, maybe if not more. And, you know, it's been nice weather. It's been bright and sunny after that first day. But I'll tell you what, the wind's blowing hard, and it is wreaking havoc with the guys.
I'm impressed that do we know what the average score was on Friday? It must have been 75.
It was probably pretty real close to that.
Way up there, yeah. Oh, I somebody asked me, hey, what would a 20 handicap shoot out there today? And I said, well, let's change that. I think a good scratch player who wins your club championship and he's that guy at the club that everybody's like, that guy's really good, you know? I'm giving him an over under of 42 putts if he plays today. 42.
Wow.
You just can't. I mean, those greens are so difficult when everything's perfect. You throw this wind into there, and you're going to be putting it in the bunkers and putting it in the water, and then you're not going to get an uphill putt. You have no idea. You have no idea what to do out there.
Caddy, have you ever seen green complexes change that quick because of weather? I mean, as far as wind is concerned, when they're actually pretty good at the start of the day, and have you seen them change like crazy drastically like they are right now?
That's pretty rare. You can get that maybe at a Pebble Beach U.S. Open where the wind can rip the moisture out in a hurry. It was a day-to-day thing from Friday to Saturday at that 82, was it the 92 U.S. Open?
Yeah.
When the whole complexion flipped 180. It just flipped because of the wind driving reefs. But no, I'll tell you where Augusta can really change is from Wednesday to Thursday, right? You're practice around Wednesday and you go out there Thursday and it's like, what is a different golf course? What happened? They could do that to you there, with just doing it themselves, right? A little moisture, that's one you got to be careful of if you haven't been there before, is understanding how fast that first green is and you don't even know it. But no, I was trying to describe, like, what is this like? Okay, take a pool table, put it in the back of your pickup truck, get on a slightly bumpy road and go 25 or 30 miles an hour, tilt the pool table a little bit and try to make a putt on it. That's about what you're looking at.
So no big deal, huh?
No big deal. No big deal. Yeah. Now, I have so much respect for how good these guys are in the bad conditions. That's where you really see how good they are when it's just impossible. And they're still, I mean, you got two guys. I mean, it's crazy that all these guys are under par. It's just so hard.
Yeah.
Can't explain.
Well, let me just say, these guys are pretty good players, right? Emiliano Grillo, he's a pretty good player, right? He shot 83 on Friday. Yeah. You got Taylor at 81, Nick Taylor. You got Gary Woodland, 81. You got Charles Schwartzel, 81. Adrian Meronk, 80. Steven Yeager, he just won a PGA Tour event, didn't he? Shot 80. Bubba Watson's got a couple green jackets. He shot 80. Dustin Johnson's all right, isn't he? He shot 79 along with Sergio Garcia. So, yeah, I mean, some of these, you know, these guys are great players. You know, Justin Rose, pretty good player, 78. So it's tough. Tony Finau, I mean, he shot 70 in the first round, had it going, and just couldn't get it in the house Friday afternoon and comes in with a 78. Joaquin Neiman, the star of the LIV Tour, 78 on Friday. So, yeah, I mean, these guys are here's something interesting I just really noticed, barely noticed as we were talking. Mike Weir, of all guys, 77. I mean, of all the guys I just mentioned with all of that horsepower, where's he? Got him by a shot or more. That's pretty cool stuff.
Well, he's got Terry Hope, Bernhard Langer's on caddy on the back, so he's got a secret.
That's correct. Yep.
Terry's the man.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about players and how much respect we have for them playing in conditions like this. How about caddies? Caddies are having to judge wind and help the player pull club. Sometimes when I was caddying, when I was caddying for Keith Clearwater, I would balk, man. What do you think? Is it a five or a six? And I didn't know what to say. It's got to be very frustrating with these types of conditions.
First hole, U.S. Open, Hazeltine. I think it was 92. The year Payne Stewart ended up winning. The very first hole of the tournament, I'm working for Nolan Henke. The wind's howling. It's 25, sideways on number one. He says to me, "You like five iron?" I go, "Yep." And he kind of stares at it, and then he goes, "How about six?" I go, "Yeah, I like six." And he just starts laughing. So he holds his second shot for it, too.
With which club?
Six.
I believe it was the six iron. Okay. I'd have to look back. But I believe it was the six. But as he walks to the green, he looks at me and he says, "Remember this moment. This will be the last time I'm ever in red numbers at a U.S. Open."
Nice foreshadowing.
Way to pre-frame. Yep.
And he was tied for the lead going to Saturday, of course. But it's so difficult to judge. And you've got to... You have so much – look, you're mentally done. You're toast after a day like Friday at Augusta mentally. You're just – because you've expended so much energy, you're not only trying to judge the win, you're thinking about, okay, what if Augusta does this? Where do we want to put the ball? It's really where do we want to avoid disaster on every shot? What's the big miss here? And then you just – you know, look, did you guys see Rory hit it in the water on 11? What his reaction?
Totally
so he
hits
in the water. He makes a good looking swing on 11, and it goes in the water. It's not even close to hitting land. And he and Harry just start laughing. They they're doubled over laughing because the ball got abused so bad by the wind. So there you go.
So after the first round, we were sitting in the media center and we were talking with Scottie Scheffler, and he said that on the 11th hole in the first round, it's dead into the wind, and that pin's up front. And he's like, I think he was 215, and he said he was hitting a four iron, okay? And it came up short of the green, and he hit it good. 35 yards of wind knocked the ball down and kept it short of the green with four iron. He ended up getting up and down for par.
And it's about, what, 5, 6, 7 yards downhill?
Exactly.
So it plays short. You know, the problem with 11 that you rarely see, but it's there. There's these big mounds and slopes short right of the green. So you can easily, fly a ball 20 some yards short of the green, and it ricochets straight left towards that pond and will go in the pond. So you got to be careful if you have to land one short of the green there.
Yeah.
You got to watch out for all those mobiles on the right.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool stuff. I just, man, it's crazy out there. And just hats off to the guys, you know, under par for two rounds. That's impressive.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Hey, Caddy, we got to take a short break. Can we continue with you on the other side?
I'll mark.
You'll mark. I like that. There you go. I'll mark. I mark. I think that's what he was saying there. Look, yeah. You're not going to get the caddy off the mic talking the Masters. He's got more to say. I know he's got more to say. We'll come back with the caddy as we continue here our Masters edition of Real Golf Radio. Masters edition of Real Golf Radio, Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, and America's favorite caddy continuing with us right now. I wanted to play you something. Max Homa talking about the mental aspect that he went through on Friday. This was some good stuff. Homa's a great interview. Tell me what you think here.
I wrote something in my journal yesterday that just said, however good I am is how good I am. I don't need to try to be better than I am. And I can just see wherever that takes me. Maybe it's winning this, maybe it's not. And I'm okay with that. I know what I've put into this game, you know, trying to get every ounce back doesn't really work. And I've tried that part. So I just feel like so much of it has just been from just making golf swings that feel good to me. They aren't always the right one, I would say, you know, for what maybe a commentator would look at, but picking the right ones. I mean, I'm not sure which shot would or which hole would lean in most to that, but there were just moments of trusting myself, like on four today and hitting the 7-wood instead of just taking the 4-iron in the bunker. Joe wanted me to hit the 7-wood and just take it on, but he said, if you feel better just hitting it in the bunker, we could do that too. So I guess that's just backing myself a bit, but then other times of playing just the low driver I've hit around here in the wind instead of trying to hit the high, cool one at times when the wind was off the left because it just doesn't fit me. So just being really patient with that and discipline, I feel like is, I guess, a testament to those kind of the mental goals I've set for myself.
Pretty interesting stuff. And, you know, he wrote in his journal that he is who he is. He's as good as he is, and he doesn't try to be better than he is. It's really interesting kind of an approach that he's taken, and he talked about those mental goals and how it's working for him. Not trying to hit the hero shot, but keeping it all within himself, even if that's not what a quote-unquote commentator might suggest he does. What do you think of that? Pretty cool, huh?
It is. Unfortunately, the first thing that came to my twisted mind was Short Smalley from Saturday Night Live. And doggone it, people like me. Okay, let's throw out the comedic effect there. So here's what I'm hearing there, really. It's what you can take from that, besides the mental game aspect of it. He's talking about, I did this with the driver, I hit the slow cut instead of that. That's why players learn and you get experience as you go along. You start learning, what can I do under pressure? What under major championship pressure? It just, that's why it takes guys a while to learn how to max out their games. And some guys learn that better than others. And he sounds like he's doing that. And yeah, it's pretty cool to hear, but that's what that is. I mean, there's a lot more to golf than just swinging a club well and executing well and thinking fairly well. You also have to know, how do you play under, what do you do under the pressure and how do you deal with it? And you don't know till you're there. That's why Tom Watson probably lost a bunch of tournaments and then figured out how to win them. And he was off to the races because it just takes time to figure it out.
You know, and Tiger went around and said that, you know, he strikes the ball really, really well. And he's learned how to do that. You know, Max Homa was on tour for quite a few years before he ever won. And then he started winning and having some success. He was on the Ryder Cup team. His last major championship that he played was the Open Championship, and that was his first top 10 in a major championship. And here he is, you know, right at the top of the leaderboard at 6-under par at Augusta under extremely difficult, tough positions. And conditions, and so you know, now he's gonna learn what it's like to be up there after two rounds and have better conditions, and what he needs to do to continue to move forward and have a chance come Saturday or Sunday on the back nine.
I wouldn't be surprised to hear Homa comment if he wins a major, does something like that. I wouldn't be surprised to him to point back to that 18th hole at the Ryder Cup when he was just in a whole nother world of nervousness that he'd never experienced before. And he executed and he'd made the putt and he did all that. And I think those little moments in careers are a big deal in your mental jar.
Yeah.
You get scarred by it or you can have success. It's wild. You look at Tiger and Jack. Tiger and Nicklaus both didn't experience any failure at all for a long time. You take the really good college players, like take Scott Verplank and Phil Mickelson. They were that good coming out of college, like Tiger and Jack were, but they both took a while to get to that, you know, to a higher level in the pro game. And so I think the reason Tiger ended up having the great career he did was because he had that early success at the Masters. And he, you know, when you're the next Jack Nicklaus and you don't perform for a year or two like that, you can start doubting yourself. And Tiger, I think it's really important that you just don't have that stumble as you're, if you're one of the great players, you don't have that stumble along the way. And only a couple guys have not had that stumble along the way. And Tiger's one of them, and Jack's one of them.
Yeah,
and look at all the majors they won.
Yeah, that's really the interesting.
Yeah, no scars for a long time, either of those guys.
So how about Scottie Scheffler, world number one? You know, here he is, you know, coming off two wins, API players, runner-up at Houston, and he's right in position again to get a second green jacket. I mean, he's the world number one, and he's playing like it. And he just seems to have such a great attitude as he approaches these. And I know you have a lot of respect and admiration for Teddy and what he's able to do. And Scotty also giving the credit to Teddy for, quote, unquote, guessing on the wind and all that type of thing. Just how about how he's playing and able to continue that play in the tracks of the guys you just mentioned?
Scotty, scary, bad news for everybody else out there. Scotty looks like he's peaking with his game right now, and the putter looks good, and you don't want to hear that if you're having to beat Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
You don't want any part of that.
Yeah,
anything can happen, but I would not bet against Scottie Scheffler on the weekend here. But golf is weird. You never know. But he looks better than he's looked with every facet of his game to me than he has in a long time right now. So
how about Bryson? I know you've been an interesting observer of Bryson over the years, and we haven't seen a lot out of him since he's gone to live, but pretty impressive 65 in that first round. Ridiculous. Fought through a 73 in the second.
So one thing I'll tell you about Bryson is he is not scared to succeed. He has no fear of success. He expects that to happen. He's got a good head on his, he's a winner. When he has a chance, the moment's not bigger than Bryson, right? It's bigger than it's the moment's too big for a lot of people, but Bryson has that mindset, where it's not too big for him. So he's got that. I think he's a much better player than he was a few years ago at this golf course. And the swing looks good. He's kind of like Scotty. Everything looks good. Everything looks fine-tuned with him right now. So, you know, you might see both those guys play ridiculously well on the weekend when these crazy – are we losing the crazy windy conditions for the weekend?
Yeah.
I think you're going to see some really good scoring between those two guys. You know, Max is playing well too. But I wouldn't be surprised if Scheffler and DeChambeau do a little Watson Nicklaus Turnberry type thing. If Scotty's on his A game though, I don't know if Bryson can catch him.
Caddy's calling it.
Yeah.
Watson and Nicklaus. Hey, how about this guy that I don't know, he's tied for 21st right now. He's 48 years old. He's had all these surgeries. He goes out and shoots 72 today and makes the cut for the 24th time in a row, Tiger Woods.
So Tiger has two challenges to overcome. They're difficult to overcome. You watch him just static hitting a golf ball chip. Putty looks great. He's got his ball speed way up there, faster than most of the tour players do. So physically, it's not a power problem. It's not a distance problem. His two challenges are, how bad is that walking going to drag him down as we go along? And also kind of one that's, I think, as important or more is he just doesn't have all the reps under his belt. And I know he's got all the experience in the world, but there's just no way your game can quite get to that level if you're not playing enough golf
over and over and over. It takes reps and, you know, you got to get in that. So he's missing that, and there's nothing he can do because he can't play enough to do that anymore. But it doesn't mean for 2 days he couldn't be spectacular. Would it, I mean, it'd be really cool, but it really, would it shock you if he shot 68, 65 on the weekend and it was no?
No.
Why would that shock you? Yeah. He can do it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what a story that would be. Caddy, great stuff as always. We appreciate the insights and your time. Enjoy the weekend at the Masters, my friend.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Now, ooh, there you go.
Thank you, gentlemen.
I thought he'd give us a Vern Lundquist since he's on his way out and playing his final Masters. Come on, go on. Go ahead and drop it. Give us a yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
There it is. All right. We leave you with that. That was the Caddy joining us here from the Masters right here on Real Golf Radio.